Hi, this is Scott Wilkinson, host of Home Theater Geeks. In episode 124, I chat with Gene Dolgoff about his new 2D to 3D converter box and how you can get in on the action by submitting your design ideas and maybe win 10 grand. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by Cashfly at cachefly.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded August 13th, 2012, episode 124, 3D in a Box. This episode of Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here, the Home Theater Geek. This week's guest geek is Gene Dolgoff, the inventor of LCD projection technology, who's now very deep into 3D video displays, and he's going to talk to us about a new project that you can participate in. Hey, Gene, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back. Good to see you.
Indeed. Those who are logged into the chat room at irc.twit.tv or watching live at live.twit.tv can post questions for Gene. I'll be watching the chat room as we go, and I'll pass along as many as I can. So, Gene, tell us about this new project and how people can get involved.
Okay, great. Well, we've been developing this new converter that will be eventually mass-produced for consumers. You'll be able to buy it. It'll be a little smaller than a PlayStation, and you'll be able to connect it to whatever TV you have in your home and connect the input to whatever video input you have. So just to give you some examples, you can hook up any video game system and the internet, of course, for games. You can also hook up video sources like satellite, cable, DVD player, Blu-ray player, DVR, VCR, your camcorder.
Even if these devices are not generating 3D content, then this box will convert that to 3D, right?
Especially if it's not generating 3D content.
That's the main. Well, that's really what it's for, yeah.
Yeah. And this box will convert it to 3D, an incredible 3D. And then on the output side, it generates a signal that goes to our special RF glasses. So now you can watch it in 3D on any 2D set or projector. So you don't need to go out.
So the display doesn't need the display itself does not need to be a 3D capable display?
Exactly. You can use one if you have one, but if you don't, you don't have to go out and buy one. You can use your old CRT television, your LCD, your plasma, your DLP, your laser, for those of you who have a laser TV. And whatever you've got, it'll turn it into 3D. So this is the uniform 3D appliance. And it will just allow everybody to have unlimited 3D content and to watch 3D at home without having to go out and buy a 3D TV. The whole point of this is to stimulate the stuck 3D market. We have a catch-22 going on right now. There aren't enough people with 3D TVs because they don't want to lay out the money to buy one because there's not much to watch. And then meanwhile, the people who make the content can't afford to spend the money to make tons of 3D content because there's not enough people to watch it. So they're stuck, and this is going to break that logjam.
Wow. Now, have you been, just as an aside, in terms of content, have you been watching any of the Olympics in 3D?
Yes. In fact, I watched it in two ways. They had a 3D feed on our cable network, actually the cable networks, and I watched it on a 3D TV with the cable feed that was 3D. Then I switched and turned to the 2D channel through my converter box and watched it that way. And I got to tell you, my 3D was better. And everybody it was better 3D. So, yeah, we've been watching that. We watch everything in it. So, now, this is the product, but here, let me tell you about the project that you can get involved with.
Yes, please.
Now that we have the thing designed and it works, it's a lab bench prototype. It's big. We want to re-engineer it into a small product. And, of course, we have to have a shape, a case that goes around it that makes it a very cool-looking device. And so we are holding a contest so that anybody can submit a design for what that case will look like. And really, you don't have to do it on CAD. You could draw it on a piece of paper. Of course, if you have CAD, that's great. One guy said he's actually building a little model to send to me. You don't have to do that. But the point is, yeah, there you go. Your design here, whatever design you like, and send it to us, and we're holding a contest. And the one we pick to use for the product, we will give you a prize of $10,000.
Holy smokes!
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, you guys got to start thinking and being creative and design this thing. Now, to tell you how to get into this contest, we have a site that you go to. It tells you all about the product. It tells you all about the contest. And you can donate to this site. It's a crowdfunding site. And you can actually pre-order the product on this site. So let me tell you there we are.
Our engineer is very good.
Very good. John, I'm impressed. So that's what it looks like when you get there. It is fundable.com, F-U-N-D-A-B-L-E, fundable.com. And you go there, and we're located in the upper left-hand corner where the first project they're highlighting. And you just click on that, and it goes to our page, and you can see all about our system and all about the contest. Oh, yeah, good. Scrolling down, you see. And on the right, you see different pledge amounts you could pledge to be a supporter. And, of course, depending on what you pledge, we give you rewards, like you'll get the great T-shirt and the great beverage mug. And for the small amounts of donation, there you go. Look at this. There you go. And the $10,000 prize for the design. And, of course, $149, you can actually buy this converter unit. $149.
So that's what the price is going to be when you release it commercially?
It's going to be $299. This is one half price. 50% off if you pre-order it. So this is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Now this is using, obviously, this is Fundable is one of the in the new sort of paradigm of crowdfunding. A Kickstarter, of course, is the big name in that. Fundable, I guess, must be an upstart, so to speak.
True. They started, I think, in May, and they are growing. You know, it's going to take a while. There's a lot of competition in that space now. But yeah, here's the page. You see some of their projects. I see we're on the upper left there. And you scroll down if you can, John, and you'll see some more projects down there. So this is Fundable is a fairly new site. The people there are incredible. They've been doing a really great job of getting the word out about our project. We have been doing interviews almost every day. We've been in a lot of publications. If you look at our Fundable site on the upper left, it lists a lot of these publications that have come out in the last couple of weeks since we've been on this site. And there's more coming. It's an amazing group. They're doing a great job. They got me on Twitter. I was never on Twitter before. It's a strange experience, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, what's your Twitter handle?
It is Future Gene.
So that's FutureGene.
I don't know if they're case sensitive, but if it is, it's a capital F and a capital G.
Okay, cool.
So it's at Future Gene.
Right. Well, I'll go follow you.
All right. Thank you. And I'll follow you too.
Excellent.
I'll follow you anywhere.
Very good. let's see. I got several questions in the chat room. Oh, did you want to finish up with something here?
No, go ahead, and then I'll finish afterwards.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. One question that Tom Terrific has is, what will the glasses cost?
Okay, great question. We have two kinds of glasses. For TVs, we have these RF glasses that are shutter glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But also include this other pair of glasses which is our new what we call full color 3D glasses, and they work on computer monitors and handheld devices like your smartphone and so on. So you can have 3D on absolutely any device whatsoever.
Now, couldn't the shutter glasses, if the shutter glasses will work on any 2D TV, why wouldn't they work on a computer?
They could, but we just haven't yet set up the interface to take the signal feed to go to our transmitter to transmit a sync signal to the glasses from the computer. So that'll be in the next generation. And it's even harder to do it on a smartphone because it's hard to tap into the sync of the video on the smartphone to then transmit it to the glasses.
Well, isn't it true though that a small screen like a smartphone or even a tablet, you can achieve what we call auto stereo or glasses free 3D relatively easily? It's when you get into the big screen sizes that you really need the glasses, right?
Well, yes, it's relatively easily, but it's very poor. You know, the problems with it, I mean, the main problem with it is the angle of view is very small. So you have to stay and you have to hold it exactly in front of you at the right spot. And you can't move your hand and you can't move your head because either way, you'll get out of the zone and you'll get pseudo stereo. You'll get a headache and 3D will disappear. It's not a good thing. And this is why you don't see any 3D phones on the market anymore.
It's just
not a practical solution with today's technology.
Woogie in the chat room is asking what type of glasses, and you just answered that. You'll have active glasses.
Let me tell you the cost. You asked what the cost was.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The kit will include one pair of the shutter glasses and one pair of the full-color 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. That's part of the unit that you buy. Mm-hmm. If you want additional pairs of glasses, the shutter glasses are $74.95, and the full-color 3D glasses are $14.95.
Now, let's talk about those full-color 3D glasses, because I believe that was what you used on the Halloween show of the Rachel Ray show on TV, right? They did some 3D with your full color 3D glasses, right?
That's right. We sold almost 2.5 million pairs of those glasses so people could watch that show, and they got a ratings bump of about 6 points for that show.
Wow. Now, that process, that system is basically, you're calling it full color 3D, but it's I think a green filter for one eye and a magenta filter for the other, right? It's one of the
blasphemy.
What? All right, set me straight.
Okay, the left eye is a very complex deep green, and the right eye is a very complex purple, no magenta. And when I say complex, these are complex notch filters. They let certain wavelengths through and block other wavelengths. And this is very important to stop the crosstalk, to give you equal brightness between the eyes, to stop the eye strain and headache, and to give you full color balance so that the whites look white. Mm. You don't get that
they never
with the
did
old
with regular
glasses.
Anaglyph. Yeah, they never. No. Whites never looked white with the basically blue and yellow.
Right.
The different
kinds of colored glasses that have been out is the old anaglyph was originally red and blue. Then they switched to red and cyan. And both of those gave you a muddy brown and headaches. And then there has been a green magenta out, as you mentioned. And that doesn't give you good color. And it also is unbalanced, so it gives you headaches. And then there's the color code glasses, which are the yellow and blue. And that is way out of balance. So you get a headache real quick because one eye is almost no light coming to it. So all of those solutions are not acceptable for good quality color viewing or long-term viewing. Whereas our full color glasses eliminate those problems. You can wear them all day. In fact, the longer you wear them, the more you don't know you're wearing them.
Web3024 in the chat room is saying, sounds great, but sorry to say 3D is dead. He sells home theater gear in a big box store, and 3D is the one feature that almost everyone doesn't care about. I was going to ask you about this. You know, there is quite a bit of apathy about 3D, despite the Olympics and Avatar and various movies being released on 3D Blu-ray. How can that be addressed?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, I'm very indifferent when it comes to apathy. But what I want to say is this.
There are some people who hate other people, and I hate people like that. Sorry, go ahead.
It is true that there is a lot of problems right now with the 3D market, and a lot of people are questioning it. You know, is this going to stay, or is it a fad? There's been a lot of bad press. But I'll tell you, the reason for this is really because of that catch-22, that there's not enough people with 3D sets, and they don't want to spend the money because there's not enough to watch, and there's not enough 3D content because they're not going to spend the money to make the content because there are not enough people with 3D sets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole thing is stuck. So since the sales are not very high and there's not a lot to watch, it allows for ruminating and people saying, oh, the 3D is crummy and forget about it. And there's always the people who say, oh, who wants to wear glasses anyway? But the truth is 3D is just as big as ever. In fact, it's growing. 3D in the movies is continuing to bring in more and more money. People are not minding the glasses because they're going to the movie theaters and paying that extra money. And more 3D movies are being made. It's not the technology that's a problem. It's not the glasses that's the problem. It's that there's not enough growth in the consumer 3D industry to keep the buzz and momentum going. So it starts to fall backwards and people start to say, it's petering out. But that's all going to change, especially because of our 3D converter. Now there's going to be unlimited content and everybody's going to have 3D. And sure, there are a lot of people that won't want it. There are bunch of people that can't see it,
right? I don't know exactly. Well, including Padre SJ, our esteemed host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, who just comes before this show, he says that he can't really see 3D. I know Leo Laporte says he can't see 3D particularly well. So there is a segment of the population for whom 3D is meaningless, really.
Absolutely right. Now, and I don't know what that number is. Some people say it's 5%. Some people say 10. Whatever the number is, the majority of the people in the world see 3D, and yes, they want a reproduction of real life experiences in their entertainment. That's what everybody has strived for throughout history, and that's continuing. So the more 3D there can be, the more realistic the 3D, the better the quality, the more people are going to like it. And I'm telling you, it's going to continue to get better and better. And yes, the glasses will disappear eventually. But that's still 5 to 10 years away. There's going to be glasses widely accepted until then. And then after that, we're going to be glasses free. Not with this technology that I was just talking about on the phones that's terrible, but with holographic technology.
Right, which we're going to talk about hopefully later in the show when we get a chance to do that. Got another couple of quick questions for you. Is the 3D depth adjustable?
Well, on my system, there are some slight adjustments allowed, but basically you don't want to adjust it because our system is taking the 3D information from the video you feed it, and so it's giving you a pretty much true-to-life 3D image. There is 3D information in 2D video, and it's just that people didn't know how to extract it quickly and easily before. But our patented system does that.
So well, why don't you help? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, tell us how it works. How is it different from other systems that are out there?
Okay, well, that's what we were going to get into. Before I start that, since I have some notes here, could you just put up that slide of our system layout so they can see how the thing hooks up?
Oh, that's a good idea. Sure, that would be the, I think it's called diagram or something.
Yeah. You have that one, John?
I have.
It's called converter.
Converter, yeah. Thank you.
Converter, that's it. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. Just wanted to get that straight.
There you go. So basically you're seeing that you can hook up your computer, your game system, your VCR, DVR, DVD, Blu-ray player, your cable or satellite set-top box, your camcorder, all hooks into our little 3D converter. And then that goes to your TV monitor and our cool 3D shutter glasses, then allows you to see the content from all of those things in 3D. So that's how you use it. So, okay, now let's talk about how the conversion is accomplished.
Yes.
Well, first let's look at what other people do. The most common technique is what's used in the movies. Now, if you would put on that roto video while I'm talking, and people
it's
take a look
roto
at this.
Roto sample.
Could be, yeah. Okay, now you see this girl. Look at this little movement that she has in here. That's it. That little bit of movement. That's not much. But let's say we want to convert this to 3D. Well, we have to cut her out of the picture. Uh-huh. So what I've done is shown you the steps that are needed in fast motion, because it takes so long, this video would go on for hours. So I've compressed it into a very small period of time. You have to look at the channels. You have to find which channels have more contrast so you can cut out the hair and not have the sky seen between the hair strands. You've got to do the top different from the bottom because the colors and the brightness and contrast are different. So you have to cut her out. You have to make sure you see the outlining, everything. You have to get her out of the picture. And once you get her out of the picture, now you got to fill in the picture, the hole in the picture that was there, because you don't want to see a hole in the background. And now you create a second image of her. You just make a duplicate and you space that duplicate from the original a distance that you select. And depending on what distance you put them apart, that will determine how far in depth she will appear. So now that's for one object. Now you got to do that for every object in the scene that you want to have in 3D depth.
And this may be why so many converted 2D to 3D conversions have that what I often call the cardboard cutout effect, where it looks
exactly
like there's one thing ahead of something else, but they're all basically flat, but in different planes. So almost like cardboard sets on a stage.
Very often that's what you see. And even in the most professional movies, I heard that Star Wars, which has recently been converted to 3D, which I didn't see, had that cardboard cutout look.
I did see it, and I almost wish for the cardboard cutout look, because the 3D conversion was almost non-existent. I thought really poor job on it.
You see, if George Lucas had come to us and put it through our system. Come on, George, are you out there? Let's talk. Well, so the hard way is doing that. And what we just described, by the way, was how to do it for just a little segment. Now, you got to go on and do this for every segment in the movie. So that's why to convert one movie takes about 400 graphic artists working simultaneously for 4 months. And that's why it costs from $5 to $15 million to convert one movie to 3D. And as you've seen, it doesn't always mean it's good quality.
Right, exactly.
So that's the way it's done in the movies. Now, for television, of course, there's certainly not that kind of time or money to do a conversion. So what are you going to do? Well, there are some conversion systems on the market that claim to convert 2D to 3D. Quite a few, actually. And they work in just one of a number of ways. The most common way, which, by the way, is built into all of the 3D TVs you buy. They do have a little setting that says convert 2D to 3D on these TVs.
Right, yes.
So here's how they work. What they do is they take each scanning line and they duplicate it. So now they make two of each scanning line, and they generally start at the bottom and separate those two horizontally a small distance. Now you go up to the next scanning line, you separate it a little more. Next scanning line, you separate it a little more, so on, all the way up. So the separation between the two images of each scanning line varies from top to bottom. And sometimes they can even say, well, let's vary it more when there's motion. So in the area that's moving, they can vary it more. So by changing this distance between the scanning lines, your eyes will now converge on it at a different distance. And so it'll appear like it's sort of like tilted, you know, so you have a tilted plane here like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that generally, you know, the sky is further away and the ground is closer. So if everything is on a tilted plane, you kind of think, oh, look, it's 3D. You know, but and that's what they're doing. But the 3D in that conversion system has no bearing on the real 3D that's in there. It's not like they're detecting the 3D in the scene and then creating offsets based on where things really are in depth. So you're getting fake 3D in those converters. And that's why they keep the amount of 3D very low. So because if they made it really big, it would be very noticeable how fake it was.
Right. So, and certainly most people I know who look into this stuff, and me included, take a look at those 2D to 3D conversions and kind of go, why would I even bother?
Right. And now then there's the other system, which actually does look for a correlation between what's in the scene and what depth it's at. And then they try to do offsets to actually be related to that. The problem with that is that takes incredible amounts of processing time and memory. So even the best system has a lag. And let me tell you, for game players, a lag is death.
Death. You have even a tiny lag.
Yeah. You're playing, you move your control, and he didn't move yet. He's dead.
He's dead, right.
Yeah. So you can't have a lag when you're playing a game. So 3D gaming has been bad because a lot of these systems have created a lag. And even some of these where you have to move the mouse to select something on the screen and there's a lag, it's just so annoying you can't stand it. So you can't have that. So there's that kind of system. And then there's our system. Our system uses a totally different idea. And it's patented. And it's based on really 40 years of research that I've been doing on the brain. So I'll just give you a quick summary of it now. And hopefully we have time. We're going to go into the brain in detail in this show. We're using a set of algorithms that is designed to work with the algorithms that are going on in your brain. Mm. There are algorithms in the brain that
algorithms in the brain.
They're doing the image processing. And we have our algorithms work in concert with those, which, by the way, takes up a lot of the hard lifting. So our algorithms don't have to do tremendous amounts of processing because it just has to do some of it and present it to the brain in a way that the brain can then do all the heavy lifting. So I'll give you a little more about that. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're looking at is we always compare two frames in our system. It always looks at two frames at a time. So it does have to have a buffer space enough for two frames. So it's just not so terrible. Mm-hmm. And it compares the images in the two frames. And here's what it looks at. Because these are things that change from one frame to the other. And these are things that change based on what depth something is at. So here's what happens. Let's see a bunch of objects at different depths. What's going to vary? Well, if you look at the different objects, you'll see as they go further in depth, the brightness decreases, the contrast decreases, mm-hmm. the color saturation decreases, and the resolution and sharpness decreases. All of these are decreasing continuously as you go further in depth. Also, objects get smaller as they get further in depth. They also get higher up in the frame as they get further in depth. You know, look at railroad tracks. You know, they converge and go up. So the size and the location in the frame. And then finally, the motion. The difference in position from frame to frame has a tremendous amount to do with what depth it's at. Just imagine you're looking out of the window from a moving car or train. You'll notice that the telephone poles are whizzing by real quick. They're close to you.
And they're very blurry.
The buildings are a little further away. They're moving fast, but not as fast as those phone poles. Now you look at the mountains. They're moving too, but much slower. And then the moon, that never moves. That's so far away. So the amount of motion is related to the depth. So all these factors taken together gives you a lot of depth information about the scene. But it doesn't give you everything, especially from just two frames. What my system then does is it says, okay, wherever we've got depth information, let's present that as depth information that's accurate. And wherever we don't have data, it just takes an average of nearby objects that it knows about, and it applies that. Now, that could be wrong, but that's okay, because here's where the brain algorithm comes in. This is what we're going to show you later on in the show. The brain has memories of 3D experiences you've had throughout your life. And so now all you have to do is show the brain partial 3D that is correct, and then the brain can take that correct 3D and it's called reconstruct. Reconstruct the memory images of 3D you've seen before and fill in the correct 3D for the other areas that we didn't know what the depth was. So consequently, you get a full image that looks like it's all correct depth, even though only parts of it are correct depth. But the parts that are correct depth are done in a way that gives you a rounding so you don't get the cardboard thing. And
right.
It gives you enough of a 3D reconstruction that your brain can then reconstruct and fill in the missing 3D information. And that's how ours works, without high overhead.
Now, you can do this in real time is the amazing thing. You're saying you don't need that much processing because you're relying on the brain's own processing to do quite a bit of the heavy lifting, as you say.
That's right.
So you really don't need a lot of heavy-duty processing on the outside. That's amazing.
Right, and therefore there's no lag whatsoever. Now, we just had a guy here called Hip Hop Gamer. That's his name, Hip Hop Gamer. He is really a force in the gaming industry. He has a site, by the way. You can go to hiphopgamer.com and watch his videos. He does a video every week where he reviews a different game or a different game system. He interviews at the different shows the creators of the games, the guys who program it, and the game company people. And so he's well known to have a really good sense of what's going on in the game industry. So he came over here, and he couldn't believe it, just like everybody else. And he brought his old games, his old PlayStation and Xbox games, and played them on our system. And he has now put out 3 videos about his experiences here, which you can see on hiphopgamershow.com. And you'll see he is raving about it. He's raving about the 3D. He's raving about no lag. He was able to win the games even better because of the 3D. And it really shows, it proves that this works really well, that there isn't a problem with processing overhead, and it really gives you great 3D.
Well, Lawn Dog in the chat room is saying, if it can be adapted to video games, ... And you're saying, absolutely it can, and improves that experience as well.
It does. It's probably best suited for that. When the first video that Hip Hop made with me and put out a week and a half ago, he put on YouTube, and in one day he had over 21,000 views.
Wow.
I mean, they really follow him, and they really liked, if you look at the comments, they like what they see. So we're going to keep promoting this and showing this around. We're going to be at the September 5th New York Gaming Show, which is the largest gaming show in New York. Demonstrating this as well, and lots of other places.
Yeah. Beatmaster in the chat room is asking, up to what size of screen will this work? I guess there are optimal viewing distances. And I'm sure...
Yes, 46 and two-thirds.
I'm sorry, say again, please?
46 and two-thirds. No, I just...
sorry, I missed that joke.
That's okay. The truth is there is no optimum with this. It works at any viewing distance, not equally as well, but you know, it's a subjective thing. Different people see different things with this system because it's relying on the brain's algorithms. So different distances will be optimum for different people, and different screen sizes are different for different people. But generally, everybody likes it on every screen size we've put it on, and at any viewing distance.
Would you say, I've always said that in general, 3D, you want to be closer to the screen. You want the screen to fill your field of view more than 2D. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes and no. Yes, it would be great if your entire field of vision was filled with the 3D content. Definitely that makes you feel immersed, like it's more real. But on the other hand, that you want to be further from the screen because the angle of view and the disparity causes the image to come out further and go in deeper as you're further away from the screen. So it actually accentuates the depth. So that's one thing we've noticed. So go further back from the screen. Even though you don't get it to cover your field of view, you get more depth in what you're looking at.
Right, right, right. Interesting. SoCal Ray Jr. asks, how is your box different than the Sensio 3D converter box? Have you looked at that one?
Sure, years ago. The Sensio system is actually the JVC system. They have licensed it from them. And
JVC makes an auto 2D to 3D converter, which I think various commercial production facilities use to do the conversion. But you're saying that the Sensio box is a version of that.
It is. It's essentially the same because they've licensed it from them. And it is, as I said, fake 3D. It doesn't work well. In fact, when I saw the Sensio demonstration with one of my partners, we looked at it and we said, is the 3D on? Is the 3D yet? And we were kind of embarrassed to say this to him, but this is the guy from Sensio. But he said, it's on now. And we had to really struggle to see the 3D in there. So it just didn't give you much 3D, and it certainly wasn't related to the true 3D in there. So it's another one of those systems, just like the ones built into the Sharp and the Panasonic and the Samsung and the LG sets. They're all based on the basic idea, and it's not real. Gesundheit.
Thank you. Well, listen, I got a bunch more questions in the chat room, but before we go any further, I do want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, which is Netflix.com. Of course, Netflix, as virtually all of my audience knows, lets you stream thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to your TV or your computer or your smartphone or your tablet, just about any display device you have, using just about any consumer electronics device you have. You can stream directly from the TV. You can use your Blu-ray player, your computer, as I said, tablet, smartphone, gaming console. We've been talking a lot about video games today. And all of these devices now have the Netflix app on them, which lets you stream everything that's available in the Netflix streaming library, which is many thousands of titles, directly to whatever display device you want to. You can even start on one device and finish on another, which gives you the ultimate in flexibility. Now, for those few of you who don't know about Netflix, haven't tried it yet, you can go to netflix.com/twit, and they will give you a 30-day free trial. So, got nothing to lose, and I definitely recommend that you check it out. That's netflix.com/twit, and we thank Netflix very much for their support of Home Theater Geeks and the entire Twit network.
Let me also add to that one thing.
Yes, yes.
Once you get our system and you connect it to your Netflix, you can then watch all of the TV shows and movies that Netflix has to offer in 3D.
There you go. Pretty amazing. I had a question here in the chat room. What was it? I'll hope to find it. Those of you in the chat room, by the way, if you use my full handle, Scott Wilkinson, with a capital S and a capital W and no space, it appears on my display as a different color and easier for me to spot. FYI. Let's see. NT Matter asks, so this is a dynamic optical illusion in some sense.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. But it is based on 3D data that's in the videos, so you do get actual 3D data in addition to it being an illusion because your brain is causing it. I got to tell you, the whole view you have of the world right now is a big optical illusion.
Good point. You've got two 2D images coming into your brain through your eyes, huh?
Right, and your brain is not in touch with the outside world. It's just watching the neural impulses coming from those two lousy cameras that you have in your eyes and generating a 3D illusion there. And I'm just piggybacking on that mechanism.
Yeah, incredible. Fun stuff in the chat room asks, can this box pass through 3D from a 3D Blu-ray and make it work on a 2D TV?
Great question. The answer is yes. You can start with any 3D source of video, put it through our box, and it will not change the 3D at all, but it will make your 2D TV set 3D. So now you can watch it on your CRT, believe it or not, CRT from a Blu-ray player, a 3D Blu-ray player, or your LCD or your plasma or whatever you have. So yes, it will do that.
That's amazing. So, you probably have to set it to whether or not to do this, these two color filters, these complex color filters, or the active shutter glasses, right? You tell it which one you're using.
Yeah, it does have a few output choices. You can do frame packing. You can do side by side. You can do page flipping, and you can do our full color 3D.
Now, when you send it to a 2D TV, a TV that does not have 3D capabilities, say for example a 60 hertz LCD, is it with the active glasses? Is it showing the right eye, then the left eye, then the right eye, then the left eye in quick succession?
Yes, it is.
So with a 60 hertz TV, you would only be seeing 30 hertz in each eye. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we do have some instructions on how to alter the settings a little bit and maximize the pleasurableness of viewing something that's only 30 hertz per eye.
Yeah, because 30 hertz is starting to get a little troublesome, bothersome to some people, I would think.
There's a small number of people that are very annoyed by that flicker. But the way we have adjusted it, I would say overwhelmingly, 95% of the people that see it on our CRT television say there's no objectionable flicker.
Hmm.
So we found a way to adjust it that really makes it very hard to notice it for most people.
A lawn dog in the chat room says, when it comes to video games, I'm sure this will be a device that will sell well. And I have to agree.
Yeah, that's our main thrust for this.
Mm-hmm. iPad 11488 asks if it will work well on live sporting events. I would assume so.
It works fantastic. As I said, I was watching the Olympics with it, and the quality of the 3D with our system was better than the 3D that they were broadcasting on our cable channel.
Mm. And Fun Stuff asks, will it work on a non-3D projector? I assume so. You've said it'll work
Absolutely.
On any display.
It certainly does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
By the way, you can pre-order this thing at fundable.com. Don't forget that.
Yeah. In fact, Tech Nerd has asked, is this thing for sale yet? And the answer is yes, you can pre-order. When do you expect it to be released as a product?
In the spring.
Ah, okay. So you're about 75% of your way to raising the $10,000 you're going to then give to the person who wins the design contest. And that's really what's on this fundable page. I'm sure it took you a lot more than $10,000 to develop this product.
Millions of dollars, actually.
Yes, yes. So the crowdfunding that you're doing here is very modest and really intended to provide the award to the winning designer, who will then actually build or participate in the creation of what I guess we would call the industrial design, how it looks, how the case looks.
Right.
All the stuff, all the electronics and software and so on are more or less finished at this point or along.
Yeah, well, the system already works. The only thing that we have to do is re-engineer it into ASIC chips and small boards so that it'll fit in a small box. But the shape of that box is going to be dependent. See, that's our current prototype you're looking at right now. That's a nice rectangular box. Big old boring box. So what we need is somebody to give us a design of a cool-looking box, and then we will put our boards into that. And that's how we'll mass-produce the product.
So SoCal Ray Jr. in the chat room asked some time ago, you know, what are the size of the boards? How do you, you know, and you don't really know that yet. You're still working on shrinking the electronics, the hardware.
That's true. But I got to tell you, it doesn't matter, because if you come up with a design for a box, we will expand it or shrink it or squish it or stretch it, whatever is necessary to fit the boards that we're making, and without really changing your design much. So don't worry about that. Just design what you think would look cool as a unit, and then we will, if we like the design, we'll select it, and you'll win $10,000 for making a drawing on an envelope.
Now, NT Matter in the chat room is asking how well this device works with lossy compression. And he's saying, for example, streaming from Netflix. Have you actually tried this on a Netflix stream? Because obviously, any streaming video is going to be highly compressed. And how does that affect what the end result is?
Yes, we've not only on Netflix, but we I have a laptop. In fact, the laptop I'm using right now to take my video to send it to you. And this laptop has an output on the side, which happens to be HDMI. So a lot of laptops have that. And you can use that. Or there's also a VGA output on a lot of these laptops. You can use that. And you go into our box. Now, we've connected the to our box, and therefore the internet is now converted to 3D. So that's pretty lossy, depending on where you go. And you can look at Netflix, you can look at YouTube, you can look at anything you like through our box and see it in 3D. And even though the resolution goes down as the quality of the input goes down in resolution, it's still great 3D. It still looks terrific.
Well, I can't wait to see it myself. I'm Tom Terrific is asking, will you be showing it at NAB? It's not really a professional product. It's more a consumer product, right?
Very true. Although that doesn't mean we wouldn't want the buzz, the publicity. So it's possible.
Will you be at CES? Is the big question.
And we expect to be. That's the place for it. You know, that's where all the consumers will come and see what's new, what's coming down the pike.
Right. Lawn Dog asks, is there any type of media that is ideal for this conversion? For example, 1080p or very old 1950s type movie. What effects have you seen looking for the ideal kind of signal coming in?
Well, you know, the old Zoetrope movies, those are great. 1080 movies, 1080 content looks the best because this is designed for 1080, and it really looks the greatest. And also, if you look at it on a high-definition 3D TV, it looks absolutely the best. So that gives you the best of everything. You start with a high-definition 2D content, you view it on a 3D high-definition TV, and then it just looks spectacular.
Marcus in the chat room is saying, HDMI in and out? I assume so.
Yes, that's there. The in and out is composite, component, VGA, and HDMI.
No S video. I'm surprised. This is one connection that's kind of disappeared altogether. I'm a little surprised that they kept composite because it's so crummy.
Well, but there's a lot of old, as they call it, legacy devices that have output that's composite. You know, you want to hook up your old Nintendo 64 or some old system even the old Xbox was composite. You know, so if you want to hook up an old system, composite is the way to go. S-video is a little better looking, but for most people, you can't notice the extra improvement. And now you got to have extra cables for the audio. So, and those little pins always break. You know, who needs it?
Right. So, yeah, it's true. Those little pins always break. You're exactly right. Aaron, too, in the chat room is saying, can I get one for review? Meaning me, Scott Wilkinson. Can I get one for review?
Well, the answer is they will be ready. Hopefully, the first units will be coming off the line, well, as pre-production prototypes, right around Christmas time for review. So that's a possibility.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Lawn Dog asks, will this device work better on a TV that runs faster than 60 hertz? I mentioned that before, but I wanted to address that, like 120 or 240.
Yeah, the faster the frame rate on your TV, the better it looks because the motion smoothing and all the cute techniques, interpolation frames that they use really do make it look cooler and sharper and better. And that's just because that's the way the TV works. It has nothing to do with our signal. Our signal right. is what it is. And so the faster the refresh rate on whatever content you're looking at, it's going to look better.
Web3346 asks, what about the user interface? Do you need a UI designer as well?
Well, not really. But, you know, we could talk about what your thoughts are. We have the user interface designed. It's pretty simple. There are several things you can adjust, but they're really simple.
Now, somebody in the chat room a while ago, can't find it right at the moment, mentioned that on your site or somewhere, there's an invitation to come see demos of this at your New York office. Is that for everybody?
Yeah. You just have to call and make an appointment, and we'll show it to you.
Very good. Sure. Very good. Let's see. NT Matter says, wow, three cheers for the visual cortex. I love that.
That's good.
Dr. T asks, does this upscale, to as well, say 480 standard def content to high def?
Yes. The answer is yes. Because we have found that some games are not 1080 compatible. And when we play that in our system without the scaling, then you get a picture that doesn't fill the screen. So we're building a scaler into it just for that reason.
Mm. And are you using a scaling chip from a company we know, or are you developing your own?
Oh, no, we're not developing it. We're just going to use an existing chip. And there are a couple that we're looking at using.
Cell asks, will it make Jennifer Lopez movies more watchable?
I would say it makes everything more watchable.
More watchable. There you go. Okay. Yeah, exactly right. Let's see here. Yeah, tech nerd. Demo. Come to New York, go to New York, make an appointment, go see it for yourself. Oh, there was another question about that. Are you going to go on tour and show it around the country at all?
Well, not at this stage, because our prototype is big and heavy and we don't have the ability to do that right now. But once we get to the next stage where we have several pre-production units, then we will probably set up various different locations that are having demos available. We did a demo a couple of weeks ago at Radio Shack, and that produced some good video footage. People were very impressed with it. And
that was in New York?
In New York, right. We're trying to set something up at a few other stores, Best Buy, AC Gear, B&H Photo. So we're working on setting those demos up. And anytime we have a demo set up somewhere, we will post it right on the Fundable.com website on our page. So just keep checking there to see about demos you can go to.
Excellent. Big Ginge in the chat room is suggesting that we send Dick DiBartolo or Dickie D to your studio, to your office, because he is the giz whiz on the Twit Network and the Tech Guy show on the weekends. So I think he'd be very interested. And he's in New York. Yeah.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, definitely will. Okay. Well, I think we're close to being at the end of the hour. We got a late start, so I want to make sure we get a good hour's worth of content here.
Oh my, and we didn't cover anything really compared to all of my notes here.
Was there anything else you want to make sure that we cover?
Okay, let me tell you about something else that's interesting. Transmission technology. There are ways to transmit 3D. And currently today, what's being done is side-by-side transmission. And of course, you know that means the horizontal resolution is cut in half for each eye's image. But that's what they're doing now. Now, there is another technology which is pretty clever, which is called 2D plus delta. And one of the companies that's really done pioneering work in that is called TD Vision.
Oh, yeah. I've talked with them. They're very good. Ethan Scher is his name.
Yeah. And That's one of the guys there. They have a, it's a clever idea, and whoa, what was that? Oh, I see, my battery is low. Oh, uh-oh. Boy. Okay.
talk fast.
We may disappear any minute. And what they're doing, you can play that video, John, of 2D plus Delta. And essentially what they do is they take, you see, here's a stereo image side by side. And if you take those two images and overlap them so that you make one red and you make one blue, you see the 3D look of a anaglyph picture. Now,
right.
There's 3D information there. But now if you do what's called subtraction and you subtract the two, one from each other, look what you have. Mostly black, but a little bit of stuff showing. That little bit of stuff showing is the only areas that are different between the left and right views. Everything else is exactly the same. So that means if you just send a two-dimensional image, most of the both images are already there. And the only thing you have to send is this part right here, which is the difference between the two. Once that gets to the other side, the delta, right. So once that gets to the receiver, the receiver can then reconstruct the second image because these are just the differences. Now, of course, that does require a little more bandwidth, and it also means that it's a variable amount of bandwidth because how much difference there is between the left and right eyes depends on the scene. You know, the more depth there is into or out of the picture, the more difference there's going to be, and therefore the larger the file is going to be that is relating to that difference image, and therefore it's going to need a still a larger amount of images. But we have developed our own compression technology, which is patent pending, and it uses a completely new way to compress color information that isn't noticeable and gives you a doubling of image resolution.
So I want to thank Gene Dolgoff very much for his appearance here as my guest geek this week. And I want to encourage you to submit your design ideas. I think it's a great idea to have an open contest for people to submit their ideas for what this new 2D to 3D converter might look like, the industrial design, which they haven't done yet. And you might just win yourself 10 grand. So go to his website, which is 3-dvision.com, or his fundable page, which is fundable.com/3-dvision, to see all about the contest that he's running, to see who might win the $10,000 with the best industrial design for the new product, which should be shipping, he says, in the spring. And I'm looking forward to checking it out myself very much. Next week, my guest geek is scheduled to be Barb Gonzalez, who's going to give us an update on all things streaming, which she's always a great guest to have on and a real hoot. So I do hope you will join me for that. Until then, geek out.